Also, I want to remind the men to sign up. Don Cranbeck will be here this weekend, and we just want to make sure we have supplies there, food there. So if you're planning to attend, there's a sign-up sheet at the Information Center. Please sign up there. Now, this morning, I want to talk to you about finding rest for your weary soul. I find it very ironic. I don't know if irony is the word, but I was preparing a different message. I was going a whole different path, and the Lord stopped me in my tracks and said, no, don't go there. Here's where I want you to go. And, it kind of confused me, but, you can see as time progresses, and I started saying, Lord, why do you want to go this direction? What is it that you want to teach us and show us? And he led me to this place of just finding rest for your weary soul. And I thought, well, I'm not that tired, but it's not talking about being tired or being sleepy. He said weary. And there's a big difference, as we'll see. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11, and we're going to take a look at a portion of Scripture that's going to help us understand and learn about finding rest for our weary soul. Matthew chapter 11. Jesus is talking. And he's gone through and he's talking about some of the cities that have been unrepentive and just making some addresses there. And he says this in verse 25. Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. Says, at this time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this was well-pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, he says, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, I'm going to be very interested to see just exactly where the Lord takes us in this message, because I kind of prepared a message, had it all set, booted it up this morning, and it said, fatal error, can't find your message. Don't you hate it when life gives you fatal errors? And you're going, come on, God, I mean, you changed the message once, and now you're like shutting me out here. And so it was kind of a struggle there, because I thought, what is it that you want to show us? And let me just start by asking this. Does anyone feel weary today? Not just weary, like, oh, it's another long day. I'm talking weary in your soul. Weary in your soul where you feel like you're just beaten down. Maybe it's not been an intense four-day whipping, but it's been a slow trickle for years where you've just slowly have dwindled down. And you don't quite know how you got there, but yet you know you've arrived at this place where you're just weary in your soul. You love the Lord. You want to be more passionate than you are. You want to be more involved than you are. You're just weary. And you don't know what to do. You don't know what direction to take. And I want to kind of address that this morning, because we can feel worn out and burn out. We feel like giving up and just going to sleep and hoping that we'll wake up with more hope in the morning. Have you ever been there? I just want to make it to this evening so I can go to bed and wake up and hope tomorrow's better. That's weary. That's the weary that weighs heavy on our souls. It's the weight of the world that's on your shoulders kind of weary that you don't know what to do. Well, the Word of God has something to say about that, and I believe the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us this morning in a special way, because we can just kind of get used to this weariness if we're not careful. You see, if we're not careful, this weariness that we've dealt with for so many years, you know what we'll actually do? We'll start to befriend it. We'll start to wear it as a badge. We'll start playing victim roles and say, woe is me. And we say, this is my lot in life, so I better figure out how to milk it and get it for all it's worth. But God says, no, I've not called you and saved you so you could live a wearied life. He addresses that in the Word of God. And so there's something he wants to say to us this morning. We've lived in a life of weariness. We can work our fingers to the bone of weariness. We can just become familiar with weariness. But even worse than that, if we're not careful, we'll make it our identity. We'll make it, this is who I am. This is who we are. So therefore, everyone should and better cater to me because woe is me. And that can become a very sad place in life. We'll start saying everything has to evolve around me. And what's even more difficult than that is when we feel that weariness, but we just don't know what to do with it. Go ahead. I think there's a picture up here, and I want to share with you a ship by the name of the Pelicano. Has anyone ever heard of the ship called Pelicano? Probably not. They didn't make a big deal about this. But in the New York Times, and you can go check this out, as a matter of fact, I'll throw it on the Facebook page and a link to the article. The ship, the Pelicano, was a ship that was over in on the East Coast. And in 1986, there was a sanitation strike in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Garbage men decided they weren't going to pick up the garbage. And to make it worse, they had a Democratic convention party that just took place. Garbage was littering the streets. There were no garbage men that were working, so trash was everywhere. And so the city had to figure out what to do, and they decided this. We're going to get and gather up all of the trash. We're going to incinerate it, and we're going to load it onto this ship right here called the Pelicano. The Pelicano contained 28 tons of toxic ash, trash, and took off out to sea with all of this garbage. The only problem was this. They couldn't find any place that would accept them. They couldn't find any place to dock. They couldn't find any place to go. For 2 years, they floated around the ocean with 28 tons of toxic trash aboard this ship with no place to dock. The only thing that people would let them do is let them stop and refuel so that they could take off once again and go away from us. For 2 years, 28 tons of toxic ash were on this ship. And I pose to you today that a lot of people feel like the Pelicano here today. We feel like we've been carrying around tons of ash, tons and weights and burdens of garbage that's been clinging to us, and we feel like we've got no place to dock. We come to church hoping that we can dump all of this garbage and we can dump all of this ash, but at best hope we feel like we've just been refueled and pushed right back out into the next of our work week, and we're looking for a place that we can come and dock once and for all and find a place where we can get rid of all of this garbage that we carry in our life so we can get rid of this weight that weighs heavy on our hearts. I want to tell you, Jesus has made a way that you can come and find that release. He's made a way that you can come and take all of those things that weighed heavy upon you and give it to Him. This release in the Bible is called rest, where the burden that weighs you down, you learn to let go of it. It said in verse 25 of our reading this. It says, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to who? Infants. He says, I thank you that you revealed them not to the wise, but to infants. He's getting ready to tell you how to let this load go, and he's getting ready to tell us how to release this burden and to get rid of the garbage. But before he does, he says, Father, I just want to say thank you that you've hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent. In other words, what he's saying is this. He's saying, the answer to life's burdens, guess what? You're not going to find them at CCC, okay? You're not going to find them at Ashford University. You're not going to find them at U of I or ISU. You're not going to find them at Harvard or Yale. Guess what? You're not even going to find them at a seminary college. Now, they may give you a lot of information that's good, but they are not going to give you the answers. They're not given for the reason of just information. We can gather that, but the Holy Spirit wants to give us this morning some illumination, some understanding of what to do with this weight that's heavy on our hearts. And verse 25 says that he reveals this to infants. In other words, if you want to know the answer to life, you've got to become like a baby again. You've got to become like a baby again. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 and 2, it says, Brethren, I could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as men of the flesh, as infants in Christ. He says, I come to you as an infant in Christ. So is he saying that we need to start acting immature once again? No. He's saying that we need to come back to a place where it's a childlike faith. Yeah, I don't know about you, but there's many times, and this is becoming more of a challenge as kids get older, but I know, especially with my son, at a very young age, I'd say, you need to go and do this. Okay, Dad. And he'd just do it. He didn't ask why. He just knew his dad told him to do it, and he's supposed to do it, and he'd go and do it. Now, my son is 11 years old. I say, Seth, you need to go do this. Why? Because I said so. But Dre is supposed to do that. No, I'm telling you to do it. And we have to have this big discussion. You see, God says, I want you to come as infants once again so that when I say go, you just say, okay, and you go. Why? Because he can work with that. He's not up for a discussion. He's not up for a debate. He wants to know when I speak to you, are you going to listen and then obey? So he says, if you want to know the secrets to life here, you've got to become like infants once again. He says that if you want the answers, you must become childlike once again. Not childish, but childlike. Putting your absolute faith in Dad simply because he's Dad. Isn't that nice? Just to know you can call on your Father God as Dad. And then you have to listen and obey. If you've already got it made and your degrees are hanging on the wall and you've been educated to the nth degree and you do what you do independently of God, then God says, then you've got to take care of yourself and you've got to carry your own garbage with you. Because you want to act independently from me. But if you want to come to me in a childlike faith, I can teach you. I can give you rest, and I'm going to show you how to do that. This morning, the Word of God is going to speak three simple words. Three simple words that will let you take that burden off your shoulders. And I'm going to give you all three of them right now, and then we're going to go through them. But he says this. He says, come, take, and learn. That's what I'm going to talk to you about this morning. You got the message right there. Come, take, and learn. That's what he shared with us in our reading. Three simple words. The first thing he says is, he says, come unto me. Come to me. This is the introduction to what discipleship is, okay? If you've ever wanted to know or be a part of what discipleship is, it starts right here. You come unto him. You come unto him, to his lordship. Verse 28 says, come unto me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me. If you're weary, weighed down, and or heavy laden, that means the weight is too heavy to bear. It's like the weight of a weightlifter with all of the plates, and he's got an enormous amount, and he can't bear it. It's kind of like when I'm lifting weight. No, I'm just kidding. It's all the plates. Have you ever seen a weightlifter struggling? And the weight becomes so heavy, it starts to tip to one side, and then the other, and his arms start shaking. It's a heavy burden. But there is purpose behind those weights, and there's purpose behind the ones you feel today. God is going to teach you something in the midst of that. And he says, if you come unto me, though, he says, I will give you rest. If you want to act independently upon yourself, lots of luck, because you're going to get crushed. And we have to learn what it means to come under his lordship, and it starts with coming unto him, this beginning of discipleship. He says, come to me. Now, weary is different than sleepy, okay? Weary does not mean sleepy. That's not what he's talking about. Sleepy is a condition where you go to bed and you fall into sleep and into another realm of consciousness or unconsciousness. And that's not the same as weary and heavy laden. It's not the same. That's when the burdens of life are controlling you so you can't sleep. Or if you do sleep, it's like entering into a Nightmare on Elm Street type of sleep. It's that kind of sleep where you don't really get rest. That's when burdens are weighing heavy upon you. He says, come unto me. This word rest, it's a big word in the Bible. Jesus said in the very beginning of creation, he said, I went through day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, but on the seventh day I did what? He rested. Why? Because he was pooped? He was tired? Whew, that was a lot of work. No, that's not the reason why. He didn't need sleep. He didn't need a nap. He didn't need to take a break. He rested so he could enjoy that which he created. That's why. And he says, now I want to teach you this principle. But too many times we say, no, Lord, we got the next thing. We got to keep moving. We got to keep going. And we wonder why we burn out. We wonder why we wear out. You know, he didn't sleep. Did you know I just looked up a few statistics? I was interested. And I found out when it comes to sleeplessness and kind of some insomnia things, humans spend about 1/3 of their lives asleep. Did you know that? Newborns need about 16 to 20 hours of sleep per day. Adults who don't get enough sleep tend to act sluggish. But sleep-deprived children, they can be hyperactive. It's estimated that 50 million to 70 million Americans suffer from chronic sleep disorder. Sleeplessness is also a prime cause of disturbances among couples, and there's approximately 10 million Americans on medication to help them sleep right now. You know, a lot. I'm not saying all of it. I understand what it means to have a hard time going to sleep. But I know that there's a difference between struggling with that and not being able to sleep because burdens and heaviness are weighing so heavy upon you that it's controlling and dictating your very physical life. There was from the CDC, a sleep-related difficulties among those that are 20 and older. They said people that have problems with sleeplessness, they have a hard time concentrating on things. They can't remember things. They don't develop any hobbies. They don't function well when they drive. They don't take care of financial affairs as well. They don't perform well in the workplace, all because of sleeplessness. But the reality is whether it's sleeplessness or it's an understanding of these burdens, it affects you, doesn't it? It affects who you are when that weight is upon you. Could it just possibly be that if we learn the principles of resting, then maybe we would just sleep a little better at night? Maybe our burdens wouldn't be so heavy. You see, God didn't sleep or take a nap. He wasn't exhausted. He wanted to enjoy that which he created. And he says, I've set this principle of rest in motion as an example for you and for me to follow. John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. The Bible says that he gives rest to his beloved while they sleep. God's still working on stuff while we're sawing logs. We can be sleeping and snoring up a storm, and God is still at work. He says, in other words, this, he says, rest, because that's what I've commanded you to do. If we're both going to be awake, you know, if we're both going to be taking care of this, you might as well get some sleep, because God's in control. But sometimes we forget that, don't we? And we start to feel the heaviness and the burdens. Again, I ask you this morning, do you feel any burdens or heaviness in your heart? Is there something you're carrying around that you've not been designed to carry? And God wants you to release that. You know, in football, if you like watching football, when the quarterback is given the ball, as soon as the ball's in his hands, there's pressure that's on the quarterback, isn't there? When he has the ball, the whole defense has locked sights on him, and the pressure is on, and they are coming after him. No matter what direction he goes, so goes the pressure. He can shuck and jive all day long, but the pressure will still be applied. But as soon as he hands off to the halfback, not only is the ball handed off, but guess what else is? The pressure is as well. Now the pressure is put on the halfback. You know, if we would just learn to hand off those pressures in life to God the way he's told us to do that, we wouldn't experience a lot of the pressures that we have today. We wouldn't experience a lot of the restlessness that we have today. He says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. He's designed us to come to him. He says, it starts there, come to me. But then he says, secondly, you've got to do this. Not only do you come to me, but he says, take. Take. The second word is, this is the process of discipleship. The first was an introduction to it. But when you take something, there's action that's taking place. This is the process of discipleship. Verse 29, the first part of that says, take my yoke upon you. You have to take it. First you come, then you take. Come is a place that you have to go. Take is something that you have to do. To take something, you have to physically, you have to go and grab it. Because otherwise, you can come to school, but not hear the teacher, right? I mean, that happens. You can come to work, but you don't really listen to your boss or want to do the job that he's designed you to do. You could even come to church, but not really come to him. You could come to a physical building, but not in the presence of God. People can come to church who don't come to Jesus, and if you come to church but don't come to Jesus, then you've gone nowhere. You've gone nowhere. Malachi 2:2 says this. It says, if you do not listen, and if you do not take it to heart to give honor to my name. Let me just back up to that part. He says, if you do not listen, and this is the prophet who's speaking to the people on behalf of God, and he says, and if you do not take it to heart, if you do not take it, that means if you don't do something and make a decision, if you don't first of all come unto me, it starts there, and then decide to take, well, the question is, take what? What is it that God wants us to take? Well, he told us in Matthew, he said, take my yoke. Take my yoke. Do you guys know what a yoke is? You know, I was going to try to get a yoke that I could put up here in the platform, but it's not like you can go to Walmart and find a yoke. But a yoke, I threw a couple pictures up there, you can put them up there, was designed to take care of the cattle. What they would do is they would put that up on the cattle. And they would use that as a tool to yoke the two oxen together. What it would do is God says, take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you. I don't know about you, but I look at that and go, that's a yoke. I don't know if I want that on me. How about you? You want that thing on you? But he says, no, I'm not talking about a physical one that man came up with. He said, I want you to take my yoke upon you. Let me explain what a yoke is, because it can be easy to say, yoke, I don't want to take a yoke. But the reality is if we don't take his yoke upon us, we're going to take somebody else's. It's going to be somebody else. It's going to be another decision we make. A yoke defined as a wooden cross piece that's fastened over the necks of two animals and attached to the plow of the cart so that they can pull it. That's exactly what you see here. It's what you and I understand as a yoke. A yoke is it's a harness, and it would be used to harness two oxen together. Typically, it would be a younger ox and an older ox that they would yoke together. Whew, that was a mouthful. They would do that on purpose. The purpose for this would be to hook up the old and the young together so that the older one could disciple the younger one. They were hooked up together, and yoked together, and the purpose was threefold. One, it created companionship because they were hooked up side by side. The second is that there was submission, because the younger ox had to submit to the bigger one's size, experience, and strength. But the third purpose was there was a responsibility, because they had to pull
to
a
be
plow.
Done.
There was work. So he says in the Bible, come to me, and then he says, hook up with me. Link up with me. Now, I'm going to say that phrase a moment, hook up, and I want to explain that, because in our society, in our world today, we hear that differently. We say, hooking up, well, that means, you know, in relationship. We just kind of hook up, and it's friends with benefits. But God comes and says, hook up with me. What are you talking about, Pastor? I want to explain that, because he says, I want you to connect with me. He says, if you want to come to a place where you can find rest for your weary soul, quit trying to hook up with everyone else in the world and start hooking up with me, and you'll find rest for your soul. He says, you're going to understand what it means to find some peace. You're going to understand what it means to find some joy. I've shared the story before, but when we were going to Florida, to Adairsville, Georgia, or we were going to Florida, but we broke down. Our car broke down. Have you ever had your car break down? Yeah? Have you ever had to call a tow truck? Yeah. We were in Adairsville, Georgia. The radiator blew. Psh, smoke everywhere. Day before Thanksgiving or Christmas or something like that. And long story short, we prayed about it, said, Lord, help us. We looked up, and here came a fire truck. But by the end of that, I needed something that was going to help me. My car was broke down on the side of the road. It's going nowhere. It's undrivable. It's not going to, it needs help. So I called a tow truck, and a tow truck came, and it had a special thing on it called a harness or a hitch. And it was designed in such a way that it could hook up to my car. And then it would take my car, because my car's not going to go anywhere else, but because I'm hooked up, I'm hitched up to this tow truck, I can now go places I couldn't go before, because where I was at was broken down. Where I was at was in a place of weariness. Where I was at was null and void. But when the tow truck showed up and hitched up with my car, I now could go places I couldn't go before. Why? Because my car worked? No, I just told you, it was broke down. I could go somewhere because of the tow truck that was pulling me. Now, I don't know about you, but in life, sometimes you just feel broken down, don't you? You feel like you're on the side of the road, and what you need is a tow truck, so to speak. You need to call upon the power of the Holy Spirit to come and hook up with you, because it's then and only then that you can get from in your broken down place to the place where God has designed you to go. I don't know about you, but when a tow truck picks up my car, it doesn't drop me off at Walmart. It doesn't drop me off at North Park Mall. It drops me off at a repair place. It drops me off at a location where what's broke can get fixed. And if you learn what it means to hook up with the power of the Holy Spirit, He will not only get you where you need to be, He will take you to the place where you can get healing for your heart. Because how many times are we weary and we feel like the Pelicano? We've gone from one port to another, not getting rid of any of the ash, just going from one port to the other. Just being refueled Sunday to Sunday so I can tolerate another week. And he says, come unto me. But don't just do that. Take my yoke, because my yoke is easy. My yoke is easy. You know, if we would learn what it means to hook up with the power of the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't need the things that the world says, hook up with me. You know, the reason we do is because we want to feel pretty. We want to feel accepted. We want to feel loved. We want to feel like we've gotten the attention. We want to feel like we've got our needs met. But Jesus says, once you come to me, if you ever hook up with me, you'll discover that I can move you from your stuck position in life and take you where you need to go so that you may be made right. You know, the tow truck, they would always take you to a filling station, a place of repair. And this morning, I believe, God is bringing us to a place where he says, there's some healing I want to do in our hearts. But it's not going to happen until you're willing to call upon Him. Come to me and take my yoke upon you, because it's easy and it's light. Like a coach in a football game. You can tell it's NFL season. I've used two football analogies now. Like a coach with an injured player, though. When he has an injured player on his team, he goes out there and he wraps arms around the shoulders of them, doesn't he? When they're injured, they go down and they pick them up. And when they pick them up, they don't just say, suck it up, cupcake, walk to the line. They wrap an arm around him. He puts his arm around his waist. Somebody comes on the other side. They put their arm around him, wrap that waist, and they walk with him. And they lead him to the sidelines where he can be looked at and taken care of, where he can get some answers to some questions of why does this hurt? Why is there pain? But it started right here with yoking up with that player. and bringing them to this place. God says, I want you to yoke up with me. Because we're living in a day where it says you can meet your own need. You can do what you want. You can find the answer. We've got so many self-help books, it's pathetic. We only need one book, and it's the Word of God. He says, come unto me and take my yoke upon you. And then thirdly, learn from me. Because if you come to him and if you take his yoke upon you, you will learn. You will learn from him. The Bible says in our reading, Matthew chapter 11, the second half of verse 29, he says, learn from me. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Learn from me. You know this yoke that was on the oxen? The young ox was yoked with the older ox for the purpose of learning pole plowing from the older ox. Now, this last part of learning, this is the point of discipleship. We said there's the introduction to discipleship, there's the process of it. When you're learning, this is the whole point of discipleship. This is why we do what we do, because we are to learn from him. A young ox would be hooked up with an old one for the purpose of learning, so the old one could teach the young one. If the young one wanted to buck against the system, good luck, because the older one was stronger. The older one was bigger. The older one knew how things were to go, and you could fight against that, or you could just learn. The choice is always yours, just like we're talking about with these cards. You can fight against this world. You can say, I've got it figured out, or you can learn directly from the Word of God. Yoke up with him. Come into his presence. Take his yoke upon you and learn from his Holy Spirit. Proverbs 1:5, it says this. It's in your outlines, and let's read this together, okay? Proverbs 1:5, ready? Go. A wise man will hear and increase in learning. Do you want to be wise today? He says a wise man increases when he hears. He increases his learning. The whole point of the yoke was this. It was to educate. It was to mature. It was to bring forth development and growth. And Jesus is saying, I want you to learn to live this life and make these decisions and go in the right direction. He says, I want you to hook up with me. I want you to hook up with the power of my Holy Spirit. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And you may say, well, why, Jesus, should I hook up with you and do this whole thing and let you be my all in all in these burdens of life? Well, he answers that. He says, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, we've been asking the question. The answer's been there all along. He says the reason you should connect with him and come to him is because his yoke is easy. It's easy. Now, this word easy, if you were to study this, we can read this real quick and say his yoke is easy. Did you know that word easy really has some great meaning behind it? In the Greek meaning, it means this. It means custom made. He says, my yoke is easy. He says, my yoke is custom made for you and for me. That's why he says, take upon my yoke. He says, because I know exactly what you need. Take my yoke upon you because it's custom made. You see, this message that I'm giving you today, all this talking, this is an off-the-rack sermon, okay? I'm not saying it's not important or it's irrelevant. I'm just saying it's an off-the-rack sermon. It's what the Holy Spirit's speaking now. But Jesus has a word for you that's tailor-made. He has something that's custom-made. You see, I can speak and the Holy Spirit can use that and he can speak to your individual hearts, but he says, I also want you to know that I've called you to come and take and learn, because when you do, you'll find out my yoke is easy, custom-made, tailor-fitted, just for you. But you've got to come to me. Most of us say, but I don't want to come. I got other things to do. Then don't be surprised when you don't get the answers to your questions. Don't be surprised when it seems like the burdens and the weight of this world come crashing down. Lord, what do you want me to do? I want you to come to me. I want you to take my yoke upon you. And I want you to learn. I want you to learn. You know, it's one thing to get a general sermon about a general topic. It's a whole other thing to have Jesus say, I know your name, and I'm talking to you, isn't it? I mean, how many of you wouldn't love that? To have Jesus sit down and say, Jim Machen, I've got a word for you. And then he puts your name in there. He says, I've got a word for you specifically. He says, that is exactly what I want to do. And you will find that kind of a rest when you come to me. A general word is just that. It's general. But let me introduce you to the word that God is calling to you and to me. When he talks about this word, he uses, when he says, I want you to come and understand my words, he uses the word rhema word. Do you know what rhema is? He used the word, He used the word word, as in word of God, but it has three different meanings, really. And he says, what I'm calling you to understand is the rhema word of God. There's three different types. One of them is called the graphe type of word. Graphe in the Greek is your Bible that's in front of you, or your iPad if you have one of those. It's the written word. It's the paper. It's the book. He says that's the graphe type of writing. Your Bible sitting on a table is the word of God, graphe. It's the word of God in written form. He says, but there's a second word called logos. And he says, this is the message of the writing. You have the graphe, the written word, but logos is the message of that word. And he says, but rhema word means utterance. And he says, what rhema word is he said, it's taken the written word that has a message to it, and it's being spoken unto your life. And when he talks here and he says, come unto me, all who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The word that he's giving to us is not just one that's general out there somewhere. He says, I want to take the word that is written, that has meaning behind it, and speak it directly to your life. How many of you would like to hear directly from God today? Not just a general word, but an utterance where he calls your name and speaks to you. This is what's being spoken in the whole context of this scripture. He says, do you feel weary in your soul? Is your boss giving you a hard time? Do you feel like you can't make it financially? Do you feel like you're just struggling with your children or your parents, if your children here, whatever it may be? He says, I've got a word for you, but you find it when you come unto me and take my yoke upon you. And you learn. You learn from me. Yoke up with me. Hook up with me and learn from the power of the Holy Spirit. But we have to be willing to do that. You could be the owner of a Bible factory and still not have the rhema word. It's not about something you own or possess or carry. It's about having the spoken word of God directed towards your heart in a personal way. It's when you're speaking, or when he's speaking to your soul, and he's saying, my yoke is custom made for you. He has a lot of children, and he knows each and every one of us by name. Isn't that good to know? He knows each and every one of us by name. His yoke is not only easy, but it's light. And don't misread that. He didn't say that you won't have a burden. He just said that it won't weigh the same. It won't weigh the same. He says, when you come to me and you take my yoke upon you and you learn from me, I'll give you rest, because my burden is not just easy, custom made, tailor fitted, but it's light. Well, what does that mean? That we won't have to feel the burden anymore? No, he didn't say I'm necessarily removing the burden. Don't misinterpret what I'm saying. I would love that. I would love to tell you that this morning. But in this world, you will have tribulations. But be of good cheer, because he said, I will make it light. I will make it light. What do you mean by that? You know, there's a man who traveled a lot. And how many of you guys travel a lot? You hit a lot of airports and that, maybe. And you're walking, wheeling around. And this gentleman, he had a suitcase that he always carried with him on the plane. He would pack that thing down because he always hated checking it in and having to check it out. So he just carry it with him. But the problem was, is he'd keep putting more and more and more and more in there. So the heavier it got, he'd be lugging that thing around. And he had that suitcase for years. And he went from airport to airport. One day he loaded it down. He was traveling with a friend of his. And he picked up his suitcase and was walking out. And as he was carrying the thing, he could just see, you know, he's just physically walking, because this thing's so heavy. And his friend looked at him and said, Pastor, he said, how heavy is that bag? And he said, it's heavy. He says, it keeps getting heavier all the time. He said, Pastor, you do know that it has wheels. Without saying a word, his friend went over and picked up the suitcase, turned it sideways, set it down, and now he could wheel that suitcase. He said, I cannot believe this thing had wheels on this thing the whole time. He said, you mean to tell me that I've been lugging this thing around for 2 stinking years with wheels on it and I didn't even know it? You mean to tell me that I have to go to the chiropractor and pay all those bills because I've been lugging this thing around and all the while it had wheels on it? I could have just pulled it through the airport. And he said, yes. Do you know that maybe you're facing some heaviness in your life and God has custom fit, custom made some wheels for that burden? And he wants to come along and say, do you know that that thing's got wheels on it? He says, come to me, take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, and you will see that I will make it light and easy. I will custom fit some wheels. I don't take the burden away necessarily. I would love it if he would do that, but he says, but it becomes lighter. Do you notice that when you take a heavy suitcase and you put it down and pull it, did the weight change? Did it? No, it didn't. The weight didn't change at all. But the effect of the weight and the pulling of it sure did, didn't it? You can now maneuver. You can now go. It appears as if it's lighter. The burden's still there. The suitcase is still there, whatever it may be. But all of a sudden, we've learned that because we've come to him and we've taken his yoke upon us and we've learned from him, he says, that I have made it light. God wants to bring us to a place where he says, whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, if you're going to raise that bar and come to the next level, you can't keep holding on to that which is back here. You've got to reach to what is up here. That means you've got to learn to let some things go. God, I don't know if I can do that. You don't know how hard it is. No, we don't. I don't, but he does. And he said in his word already, I've custom made this. I've set it up so it's all good. Just come to me. Come to me because there's something that I want to give you. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. He says, you'll find rest for your souls. And you might say, well, wait a minute here. You might say, that's different than what we started with. Because I don't know if you noticed this. When we end the scripture, he says, you will find rest for your souls. We started with, in verse 28, he says, I'm going to give you rest. Then he comes and concludes at the end of the scripture and says, you'll find rest. Well, that just goes to show that God can give you rest, but we still have to locate it, don't we? In other words, God has made a way. Do you know that? God has made a way. But we still have to be a willing participant to go and to seek that which God has for each and every one of us. We have to come into him and he'll give it. But until you take his yoke and until you learn of him, you won't find what he gave. Jesus is saying this, I know it's wearing you out. I know it's wearing you down, but I've got your back. I've custom made this. You can handle this. Don't throw in the towel. Don't quit. Don't give up because I have made a way out of no way, but you won't see it unless you come to me. Take my yoke upon you, for it's light and it's easy, and I'm going to give you rest. Amen. Will you pray with me? Father, I want to thank you this morning that as we come to you, Lord, there are so many things in this world that can weigh heavy on our heart. There's so many things that can burn us out. Lord, we can commit ourselves and overcommit ourselves to things so we can just feel important, but it all means nothing at the end of the day if you are not in the midst of it. So Lord, we just take time and say, Lord, please reevaluate our hearts. Lord, bring us to a place where we know that we are doing what we're doing because you've called us to do it. Lord, may we not work beyond our own limitations, but may we work within them so we can become stronger and healthier. Bigger is not always better. We ask for your health. Lord, we ask for you to cause us to grow and to mature in such a way that these burdens that weigh heavy upon us, they can be gone in the name of Jesus. Maybe not disappear, but Lord God, you can sure change the weight of it. Let me ask this while every head is bowed and eyes closed. Are you here today? And there's a burden that's weighing heavy upon you. I'm going to ask very specifically because I don't believe God presents a message just to say there's hope out there somewhere. It's here today. Are you here today? There is a burden weighing heavy upon you. You don't know what to do. And today the Holy Spirit, you know, is telling you to come. If that's you, simply raise your hand because God says, I want to do something now in your life. If that's you, raise your hand and respond to him. Jesus, you see the hands and you see the hearts. And your word does not return void. So Lord, I speak grace, I speak power, and I speak the presence of your Holy Spirit into every one of their situations. Lord, will you cause us to come into your presence, to make a decision, to bless the Lord all our souls, and that sometimes we may not feel it, but we will make a choice to come to you. And that, Lord, in the process of taking your yoke upon us, Lord, that means we have to let ours go. Help us to do that, Lord. Pry our fingers open at times when we're holding on too tightly so that we may come to this place of rest. Lord, change that weight in each and every one of our hearts and lives. I ask in your name. Go ahead and put your hands down and let me ask this. Are you here this morning and you don't have a relationship with God? Because if you don't, oh, I can only imagine the weight of the world and you feel that maybe that God just does not care. I want to assure you today, he loves you so much. And he says today to you, come to me. Do you need a relationship with God, a place where you can say, I know that I have Jesus in my heart? Know this, there is nothing you can ever do that would scare God off. And he says, today you're here and you know you need to make that right with the Lord. If you're here today, just simply raise your hand and say, I want that. I need to know that I have Jesus in my heart and I've made that decision. I agree with you, my brother. God sees your hand and your heart. Receive that today in the name of Jesus, and God sees your hand as well. Receive that in your heart and your life today. And know that the power of the Holy Spirit causes you to be transformed from the inside out. Is there any other hearts here today? I'll wait for just a moment. I'm not going to embarrass you. Well, Father, I thank you that you've brought us to a place where we can not only hear your word, but Lord, you empower us to do something with it. So Lord, we take that responsibility and we say, Lord, help us see where we need to make corrections. Help us to make those changes so that our actions, our attitudes, and our life line up with your word, your will, and your way. We ask in your name. Amen. We stand with me this morning. And shock of all shocks, it's 10 till, 9 till. If you want, I can keep going, but I want to invite you to join us tonight for the roast again. 5 o'clock tonight, okay? Come on, join us for a time of fun and fellowship, and we will see you tonight. God bless you. You're dismissed.